This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of October 22nd, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop. No donut.
Bad.
Cop.
Donut.
He's under the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. This week, CKLN is in the midst of its annual fundraising drive. CKLN is a listener-supported station with 40% of its annual operating budget coming directly from our listeners. This year, we hope to raise $100,000 by October 30th. Bad Cop No Donut would not be possible to produce without the support of CKLN. I hope that you will consider supporting us if you can. I'll have a bit more to say about that at the end of this week's show. You can learn more about CKLN and how to support us online at ckln.fm. Rather than subject you to what CKLN listeners will have to listen to in place of Bad Cop No Donut this week, here is a look at what the police did to us this week. Police in Lewiston, Idaho, say that they believe most rape reports are false. The Lewiston Tribune has interviewed three high-ranking Lewiston officers who claim that 70% of all reported rapes are false. Those officers are Captain Alan Sharp and Lieutenants Alan Johnson and Tom Green. The lead sex crimes detective on the force, Larry Tuck, agrees that most rape reports are fabricated. According to the Lewiston Police Department's own records, only 23% of reported rapes are unfounded. FBI statistics say that less than 8% of rapes reported to police across the United States are false. Advocates for rape victims are concerned that police will not take rape reports seriously, and as a result, less women will report rapes to the police. A sheriff's deputy in Adams County, Colorado, was arrested last week and is suspected of being one of the state's most wanted bank robbers. The Rocky Mountain News says that Deputy Tom Fazio has been charged with one count of robbery. FBI officials think that Fazio is responsible for as many as 9 robberies across the state. This year, bank robberies in Colorado are up 64% over the same period last year. Narcotics officers in Topeka, Kansas, have been accused in a report of regularly tampering with drug evidence and falsifying records with the knowledge of their supervisors. The Associated Press says that an investigation by a local district attorney revealed that Chief of Police Ed Klump knew of the irregularities and decided to press ahead with cases regardless. The district attorney said that officers took drugs being held as evidence for personal use and gambled and drank alcohol while they were on duty. Officers are also accused of falsifying records and failing to properly account for money used for drug buys. Officer Thomas Fortmiller was sentenced to 16 months in prison last month for stealing thousands of dollars of money intended for drug buys and then falsifying reports to cover up the crime. His former partner, Officer Bruce Voigt, is currently facing 61 felony charges. A man in Winnipeg, Manitoba, filed a complaint this week accusing police officers of racial profiling and excessive force. The CBC reports that the man's arm was broken while he was in police custody. The man was on his way to a convenience store last Wednesday when police detained him for no apparent reason. He said he was punched, choked, thrown around, and kicked by officers in a police interrogation room while they gloated about the fact that the room had no video surveillance. Police eventually took him to a hospital where his broken arm was treated. A Morgan, Minnesota police officer made his first court appearance to face sexual misconduct charges last week. According to the Associated Press, Officer Joseph Gunderson is charged with fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct. He's accused of touching a woman inappropriately when she was a passenger in his police car in December 2004. Gunderson was subsequently suspended from his job over unrelated complaints. A man who was accidentally shot by a police officer in Rochester, Minnesota, received a $900,000 settlement last Wednesday. KARE reports that the police officer who shot him thought he had a taser in his hand when he shot the man. Unfortunately, the officer was actually holding his service weapon. The settlement was reached less than a month before the case was to proceed to trial. A Beloit, Wisconsin police officer was arrested and charged with drunk driving and leaving the scene of an accident last Wednesday. The Beloit Daily News says that Officer Benedicto Rodriguez was involved in a traffic accident in Illinois. The car he was driving struck a pole, and the officer left the scene of the collision. He was arrested nearby a short time later. Rodriguez was released on a $270 bond and has been placed on administrative duty. He's been charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident, failure to reduce speed, and not having valid registration. He will appear in court next on November 16th.
We will not tolerate this type of conduct. We're extremely, extremely upset that an officer or anyone would do something like this, but particularly an officer.
We are so grateful that the police department did react on it, and we just appreciate what they have did.
A Chicago police officer was charged last Thursday in connection with the hit-and-run death of a teenager in September. An Associated Press report says that Officer Charlton McKay has been charged with reckless homicide, leaving the scene of a fatal accident, and filing a false report. McKay is accused of driving through a stop sign and striking the teenager, who was later pronounced dead at a hospital. McKay also falsely reported that his car had been stolen after the accident. His bond has been set at $300,000, and he has been suspended from his job without pay. A Highland Park, Illinois police officer was charged with physical abuse of a juvenile last Saturday. The Highland Park News says that Officer David Saifuku was arrested by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he was taking care of his girlfriend's children. Police reports say that the boy had bruises on his arms, legs, and shoulders, as well as scratch marks, which he says were caused by Saifuku. The officer is on paid leave from his job while an investigation is conducted. A lawsuit was filed this week which accuses police in Cicero, Illinois, of using excessive force during the arrest of three children. WMAQ reports that the lawsuit accuses officers of physically and emotionally abusing three siblings aged 13 to 16 earlier this month. One of the three was allegedly the girlfriend of a drug dealer being arrested by the police. An attorney said the children were subjected to sexual harassment, racism, and physical violence. The children's father suffered a small stroke when he went to a police station to find them. The family has since moved from Cicero. Police officers in Hammond, Indiana, were caught twice on videotape having sex while they were on duty. The Associated Press reports that Officer Sean McDaniel and another unidentified officer were videotaped having sex at a police station. An investigation revealed that another officer, Kirk Andrews, also engaged in sexual activity while he was on duty. Both officers were fired last Thursday. Two more Hammond, Indiana police officers are under investigation after the wife of an officer accused him of child molestation last week. The Northwest Indiana Times says that an investigation of one unnamed officer is being conducted by the Lake County Sheriff's Department. An investigation of another officer is being conducted by the FBI and is believed to be connected to the child molestation accusation. A police officer in Alexandria, Indiana, was arrested on Tuesday after being accused of offering a woman money to have sex with him. WRTV reports that Officer Richard Santos was on duty and sitting in his squad car when he offered an 18-year-old woman money to have sex with him. He's facing charges of promoting prostitution and official misconduct. He is currently on administrative leave, but his job status is currently under review. He faces the possibility of 11 years in prison if he is convicted. An Indiana police brutality lawsuit was settled out of court last week. The LaPorte County Herald Argus says that the county and the town of Trail Creek have agreed to pay almost $10,000 to a man who was injured when he was beaten by sheriff's deputies during an arrest in 2003. The lawsuit said that the man's knee was severely injured when he was hit and kicked by the officers. Deputies charged him with a number of offenses, but the charges were dropped when Deputy Steve Large resigned over allegations that he made inappropriate sexual advances toward a woman involved in the man's arrest. Large is facing criminal charges in an unrelated case where he's accused of sexually assaulting a 64-year-old woman in her home in August 2004. Large was not the only deputy named in the lawsuit. Sheriff Jim Arnold, Deputy Mike Raymer, and Deputy Dean Schultz, and Trail Creek Police Officer Todd Kaczynski were also named. A sheriff's deputy in Lenawee County, Ohio, was arrested last Thursday and is now facing 65 identity theft-related charges. The Toledo Blade says that Deputy Tim Holtz was already on probation and had been fired from his job in April over similar allegations. Holtz is accused of creating computer-generated checks in the names of people who he had arrested and using them to pay for tools and other household items. The new charges against Holt include forgery, larceny, malfeasance in office, and using a computer in the commission of a felony. A Canton, Ohio police officer was indicted on Friday for using a state computer to try to get a date. An Associated Press report says that Officer Stephen Fowler was indicted by a grand jury on one count of unauthorized computer use. They failed to indict him on a more serious charge of lying to investigators. Fowler allegedly used a law enforcement database to track down a legal secretary in an unsuccessful attempt to ask her out on a date. Fowler's activity was reported by some of his fellow officers. A Toronto police officer was found guilty of an internal misconduct charge last Wednesday. The Toronto Sun says that Constable Paul Stone was found guilty by a judge who also concluded that Stone was given a pair of hockey tickets by Toronto Police Union Director and son of a former Toronto police chief, Mike McCormick. The tickets were in exchange for the release of a man who was arrested at a traffic stop in 2004. There is no official police record of the man's arrest or release. McCormick testified that the tickets were not in exchange for the release, but a wiretap for an unrelated corruption investigation caught Stone contradicting that during a discussion with McCormick's brother, Billy, who is also a Toronto police officer. Stone plans to appeal the decision. Both McCormicks are facing other unrelated charges. Police in Kingston, Ontario, have sent a bill to a university to cover costs of a homecoming party that was not sanctioned by the school. The Kingston Whig Standard says that police are demanding an $84,000 payment for patrolling a street party where 7,000 students drank beer, blocked the road, taunted police officers, and overturned and lit a car on fire. The university points out that the street party has nothing to do with the school and should not be confused with an official homecoming event. The police have warned the university to be prepared to pay again next year. A New York City police officer was found guilty of criminally negligent homicide last Friday. The New York Times reports that Officer Brian Conroy faces 4 years in prison when he is sentenced on December 2nd. This is the officer's second trial. A jury at his first trial deadlocked 10-2 in favor of conviction in March. A New York City police officer pleaded guilty on Tuesday to a charge that he arranged a sexual encounter with a person who he thought was a 14-year-old boy. An Associated Press report says that Officer Mike Costello was arrested on the charge in April 2004. He was arrested outside a coffee shop where he planned to meet the boy for sex. He was immediately suspended without pay and subsequently resigned from his job. Costello had arranged the meeting online and was not aware that he was actually communicating with a fellow police officer. At the time of his arrest, he was assigned as his precinct's youth officer. A New York City detective filed a complaint this week alleging that he was beaten up by four other NYPD detectives. According to the New York Post, an undercover narcotics officer filed a complaint with the Civilian Complaint Review Board that four detectives from the major case squad mistook him for a robbery suspect and beat him up last Tuesday. The narcotics officer suffered a broken wrist, a shoulder injury, and other minor injuries. He is currently on sick leave. A Hillside, New Jersey police officer was arrested on insurance fraud charges on Tuesday. An Associated Press report says that Officer Dennis Melendez is accused of being part of a conspiracy where cars were reported stolen and then ripped apart and sold as parts. He is charged with conspiracy, insurance fraud, and official misconduct. He's facing 10 years in prison if he is convicted. Melendez has been suspended without pay. A Philadelphia police officer was arrested last Tuesday for abusing his authority. WPVI reports that Officer Stephen Smith is accused of searches and arrests that were conducted without reasonable grounds to do so. Smith has been suspended for 30 days, but will likely be fired. A Germantown, Tennessee police officer was arrested after a drunken car crash on Saturday. WREG reports that Officer Scott Panea smelled of alcohol and had bloodshot eyes and slurred speech at the time of his arrest. Pena rear-ended two cars while driving his personal vehicle. He has been charged with driving while impaired, public intoxication, and reckless driving. A former narcotics chief in Charleston, South Carolina, was fired last Wednesday for allegedly accepting a gift from a drug dealer. According to the state, Officer James Mackey was banned from working in law enforcement by the South Carolina Criminal Justice Academy. In August, Mackey was found guilty of internal charges including falsification, conduct unbecoming an officer, improperly accepting gifts, and violations of integrity and codes of ethics. Mackey may face criminal charges depending on the results of an ongoing investigation. A sheriff's deputy in Thomas County, Georgia, was arrested and charged with sexual assault last Tuesday. WALB reports that Deputy Beverly Simmons was charged with sexual assault on a person in custody and violation of oath of office. Simmons was the subject of a two-month investigation after authorities received information that she was having sex with an inmate. She confessed when questioned. A police officer in Coolidge, Georgia, was arrested and charged with theft last Friday. WALB reports that Officer Walker Conley has been charged with violation of oath of office and theft by taking. He is accused of failing to turn over evidence that was taken from someone during an arrest. The chief of police in Boca Raton, Florida, ordered a traffic stop so that a news reporter could interview a man. The Palm Beach Post says that a recently uncovered memo revealed that two assistant chiefs were ordered by Chief Andrew Scott to have an officer pull over a man so that he could be ambushed by a television news reporter. The memo was written by the sergeant who was ordered to target the man. Sergeant Jeff Kelly says he was ordered to follow the man until he committed some kind of infraction and then pull him over so that the reporter could question him. The traffic stop and ambush took place on August 30th. Chief Scott has been criticized in the media recently for releasing a wealthy friend from custody. A sheriff's deputy in Orange County, Florida, was arrested on Tuesday for domestic violence. WESH says that Deputy LaWarren Wells is facing two domestic charges. He has been suspended without pay while an investigation is conducted. A Temple Terrace, Florida police officer resigned earlier this month, and on Tuesday, a report was released which detailed the allegations of misconduct against him. The St. Petersburg Times says that Officer John Gillespie was charged with solicitation last month after he offered $140 to a lingerie shop employee to have sex with him. A report released Tuesday says that he also used his work computer to download pornography. He is also accused of using a police database to find personal information about investigators in his prostitution case. The report says that Gillespie is guilty of a dozen internal charges, including conduct unbecoming an officer and abuse of his position. He had been on paid leave since becoming the target of an investigation in July. A sergeant in the Polk County, Florida Sheriff's Department is facing charges after he allegedly conned a shopping center out of thousands of dollars for security work that was never performed. The Lakeland Ledger says that Sergeant Stephen Burnett was arrested last Thursday and charged with grand theft, scheming to defraud, official misconduct, and tampering with evidence. The fraud came to the attention of investigators when merchants had security problems at times when no security guards were present. Invoices showed that the shopping center was charged for security at times when none was provided. Burnett is accused of defrauding the merchants out of almost $4,500. Three Groveland, Florida police officers have been disciplined for a chase that violated department policy. The Orlando Sentinel says that the officers pursued the man after he committed a minor traffic infraction. Officers in Orlando are prevented by policy of chasing people suspected of misdemeanors or traffic violations. Officer Marcio Cordoso was suspended without pay for 3 days for shooting at the vehicle and driving on sidewalks in a residential neighborhood. Officer James Barger was suspended without pay for 1 day for initiating the case. Officer John Flynn received a written reprimand. A Gentry, Arkansas police officer charged with sexual assault pleaded not guilty on Tuesday. KHBS reports that Officer Charles Harp became involved in an inappropriate relationship with a young girl he was tutoring. The abuse was reported by the girl's mother. Harp is charged with second-degree sexual assault. and his trial is scheduled for February. He resigned from his job in September. A police officer in San Antonio, Texas, was arrested on Thursday for sexually assaulting a transsexual in June. KSAT reports that Officer Dean Gutierrez was indicted by a grand jury for the attack. The indictment says that the officer violated the civil rights of his victim because the attack occurred while he was on duty. He is facing life in prison if he is found guilty. The former deputy police chief in San Angelo, Texas, was fired over his involvement in a sex-related case last Thursday. KVIA reports that Officer Ron Dooley was accused of handcuffing a woman who refused to have sex with him and a female federal agent in May. In July, Dooley was charged with unlawful restraint. He was suspended without pay until he was fired last week. A police officer in Shenandoah, Texas, resigned on Tuesday after being charged in an excessive force incident last week. The Houston Chronicle says that Officer Jeremy Clammer was caught by a camera in his squad car punching and pepper spraying a man during a wrongful arrest on September 29th. He was indicted by a grand jury last week on charges of aggravated assault and official oppression. Clammer's resignation came just before an internal hearing, which would have likely resulted in his termination. His partner, Officer Heath Romeril, resigned on October 19th after he was indicted on an official oppression charge connected to the same incident. A decision to fire a Harlingen, Texas police officer who stole two bags of potato chips was overturned last week. An Associated Press report says that the decision to fire Officer Randy Reyna was made by the local police chief, but was overturned by the town's Civil Service Commission last Thursday. They instead recommended a 90-day suspension. In March, Reyna was involved in a police chase where he crashed his squad car into a ditch. One of the occupants of the car he was chasing was paralyzed and the other died. The chief said that Reyna's termination was not a result of the botched chase. Two Colorado City, Arizona police officers have had their law enforcement certification revoked because they are accused of practicing polygamy. An Associated Press report says that the two are members of a local church which encourages the practice. The Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board determined that although most people in the community embrace polygamy, the practice among officers undermines public trust in law enforcement. A gasoline-covered man caught fire after he was shocked with a taser by police in Cumberland County, North Carolina, last Thursday. The man suffered burns to 70% of his body and was in critical condition in hospital. The family of a 62-year-old disabled man who died after being shocked with a taser by police in Waco, Texas, filed a wrongful death lawsuit last week. The man was shocked multiple times by the officers before he had trouble breathing and died on June 14th. The five officers involved in the incident have all been cleared of any wrongdoing and have returned to duty. The lawsuit names the city of Waco and Taser International the makers of the weapon. A man filed a lawsuit last Thursday which claims that a University Heights, Iowa police officer used excessive force when he used a taser during the man's arrest at a football game in September 2004. The man was subsequently found not guilty of a disorderly conduct charge. Officer Brad Reinhardt and the city are named as defendants in the lawsuit. Taser International, the makers of the weapon, reported dismal third-quarter profits this week. Taser profits were less than $300,000 compared with $6.1 million in the same period last year. Total net income for the first three quarters of this year combined are less than $1 million, compared with almost $50 million in the same time frame last year. Taser's stock prices dropped 6% on Wednesday when the figures were announced. In addition to the killings already reported on this week's program, police also killed people this week in Kansas City, Missouri, Hamilton, Ontario, Huntsville, Tennessee, Canton, Georgia, Kenner, Louisiana, and Decatur, Texas. As I mentioned at the top of the show, CKLN 88.1 FM, where Bad Cop No Donut is produced, is currently in the middle of its annual fundraising drive. We rely on financial support from our listeners to bring a wide variety of music, art, and information to the airwaves. We have a variety of gift incentives available for varying levels of support, including sweatshop-free CKLN t-shirts and hoodies. Listeners to this program might be interested in one of our limited number of copies of the DVD Hogtown, The Politics of Policing, a documentary film by Min-Suk Lee, or one of many copies of Total Misconduct by Samuel Clark, a former Newark, New Jersey police lieutenant who we interviewed on our September 22nd program. Here's a short excerpt from that interview.
All right. I was assigned to gang intelligence. It was a newly formed division or squad, really, that tried to address the emerging gang problem. And normally, in that squad, I work, you know, plain clothes, civilian clothes, or whatever. And I was getting off. I was on my way to a bookstore, and I heard a call on the radio that an officer needed help. Since it was 4 or 5 blocks away, I, you know, decided to respond to the scene and see what I could do to render assistance. Never did get an opportunity to see the officer that actually called for the help, but I encountered two young men that were among 4 guys that were trying to be frisked by 2 other officers. And when they started to grapple with each other, I ran toward them, or actually walked rapidly. It was only about 20, 30 feet away, and tried to just intervene so that I could break their grip on each other. And that's when a uniform officer grabbed me from behind and tried to choke me to death.
Had you shown him any identification at this point? Did you have
No, I didn't have an opportunity to show any identification, and I couldn't verbally say anything because of the manner in which he was choking me.
Now, you describe in your book something that's very similar to stories that I've heard from other people who have also been victims of police abuse, and specifically the feeling of helplessness that you felt during this attack. You thought you were going to die, didn't you?
Yes, there was no question about it.
So, obviously you did not.
Right.
And you're in a position where, I guess, so did they eventually, was he eventually pulled off of you, or?
I just believe he got tired of choking me. And ironically, also, the other officers that were there never intervened to say, okay, wait a minute, that's enough. You know,
did they know?
The guy's not resisting, you know, let him go.
Did they know you personally, these other officers?
No. The ones on the immediate scene did not know me personally. Later, there were a few other officers that arrived that did know me personally, but that was after I had been released. But I was still rather dazed, you know, from not having enough oxygen.
What did you decide was going to be your course of action then after you've been attacked by one of your fellow officers? This is an officer in a different division of the same department you work for.
That's correct. He worked out of one of the precincts, and I filed a report of the incident of excessive force, and I just felt that this guy had some sort of problem. The way he was, you know, literally trying to kill me, it was just unnecessary because I'd never even considered using that amount of force on the 2 individuals that I was trying to break up their little physical dispute. That never came into my mind because it just wasn't necessary. And I figured, well, this guy's got to have some kind of a problem. And I filed the reports, and the police department just simply gave him a reprimand.
So for those people who don't know, that's a verbal, it's like a verbal warning.
Yeah.
It's like literally taking somebody into a room and saying, "Hey, don't do that again."
Don't do that again. That's correct.
And that's it. That's what.
That's it. That's end of story. You know. So.
I'm guessing this wasn't good enough for you.
No, I was alarmed because I just couldn't figure out why they would not try to sanction this guy a little bit harder, a more severe sanction, and also to try to give him some kind of sensitivity training or evaluation as to why he was doing this. And his record, I understand from reliable sources, I did not personally see it, he had several incidents of excessive force. And he committed suicide, I think, about a year and a half later. So this officer did have some problems, and it was unfortunate for all involved that the police department did not address those things when it had the opportunity and also had the knowledge of prior incidents of him using excessive force.
You can donate to CKLN 24 hours a day by phone until October 30th by calling 416-598-8810. That's 416-598-8810. You can also donate securely online through PayPal on our website at ckln.fm. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Feel free to send in your comments and story ideas. We count on you to keep us up to date with what the police are doing where you live. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. I'm Ron Anisich, and I look forward to telling you more about the police next week.
Every time I drive me car, police a stop me super star. True, me drive a Fiat and a Mercel with me Lancia. Some more time I'm going to East London for check some Cockney. Them a tell them produce insurance license and emoti. But me say, police officer no give me producer. Police officer no bother give me producer. Police officer no give me producer. Police officer no bother give me producer. To everybody in the downtown I dedicate this style. Whether you are lawbreaker or you are informer, you could be a PCCID or a inspector. Me no charge for murder, fending to producers where me charge for some. Police officer no give me producer. Police officer no bother give me producer. Cause me a smiley culture and used to drive up a Lancia. And me a drive car from me a teenager. Police officer me is a expert driver. So if you see me say no shout or no holler, no stand up in the road with a torch and try pull me over. Cause if it's a dark night myself you will get run over. No come behind me the road and start flash your flasher. I come wreck me beside me pan your scooter. Cause me's a man who woulda just drive faster. And when me feel like it me woulda pull up on a corner. Before you ask any question me already have a answer. And any answer you get me one you know it would be farmer. So police officer no give me producer. Police officer no bother give me producer. Police officer no give me producer. Police officer no bother give me producer. I'm where your people's club me pass through Victoria. And through me a entertainer say no tax from me window. As me go through the lights the whole road take over. And as me drive near I could see clear I was a black Mariah. With six or seven plainclothes police officer. Them didn't look the type of police me could give a fiver. First thing that come into me head, good thing me hide me ganja. Next thing that happened them waving, in other words pull me over. I'm a could I do is sigh and shrug me shoulder. And as them approach me start wind down me window. Me I go tell you how me answer. Every question them fire. What's the name, son? My name's Smiley Culture. Yeah, where do you think you're coming from? Like from seeing my mother. What's the registration number of the card? And I can't remember. What you got in the building, son? I can't say recorder. Would you like to have a look? Shy bloody man, if we ask you answer. Now take the keys out of the car and step out of the motor. Me and my colleagues have got a few questions to ask ya. You'll be on your way as soon as we get an answer. As me come out to the camera, think of me, I wonder what police officer could want with Smiley Culture. Cause with them touch, them a search the interior. But whatever them looking for, me hiding place superior. But the way them a search me hand to ask them what them a look for. But me try hangle them cause them just hangle me closer. Then one draw anchor put him on palm me shoulder and say, we ain't got no time to waste, we don't think you have neither. Just give us what we want, the real sense in mania. Me never had no chance, me draw out me ganja. As me do that, them start rub them on together. One say, should we put me in the van or in the back of the Rover? Me say, you can't do that, come in name Smiley Culture. You what did you do that record? Conley translator. In a reggae chants number one words it's number. Our kids love it and so does my mother. Tell you what I'll do, a favour for a favour. Just sign your autograph on this piece of paper. Me cut in shot and me just draw out me Parker. And the producer me just sign Smiley Culture. Them never lie, them never bother. Arrest me or take me ganja.
Mm-hmm. easing up, easing up, easing up.